Good evening and welcome to the regular meeting of the City of Morro Bay Recreation and Parks Commission. Today is Thursday, November 20th, 2014. We're going to establish a quorum, call the meeting to order. Everyone's here except for Commissioner Bates and Commissioner Swain, so we have a quorum. And so we'd like to observe a moment of silence before we begin. Okay, thank you very much. It's on, but I'm not getting anything. Hello, are we having a technical difficulty?
No. Light on.
Light's on.
I think I'm good here.
Oh, you're good. All right.
Up here. And to introduce their members and say a little bit about the Teen Action Club and what they do for the city and what their mission is our team coordinator, Ed Gallardo. So with that, I will turn it over to Ed Gallardo and let him take the stage. Thanks, Ed.
Hi, my name is Edward Gallardo. I'm with the City of Morro Bay Recreation and Parks. I am the teen program coordinator at the City of Morro Bay. A couple of things that fall under that categorization is I actually run the teen center and the skate park that are locally here in Morro Bay over by the high school. Our group of teens that we have here with us today are members of our teen action crew, which we call the TAC group, which is a volunteer group that goes all throughout the city and does various jobs, like we paint parking lot stripes at our local parks, so to save a little bit of money on maintenance and everything like that. We help out at the Harbor Festival every year, along with the Merchant Street Fair, and one of our biggest projects that we really like to do and really take a lot of pride in, because it's right across the street from us, is the Adopted Park program. And we, as the Teen Action Group, take care of Lila Kaiser Park. A lot of our teens, some that aren't here, have actually put in close to 100 hours of just cleaning up the park. That's weekly. We go weekly for about an hour a day, sometimes a little bit longer. But some of our teens have actually gotten a big group of their volunteer hours just through the Adopt-a-Park program. But with us are a couple of our teens that, you know, sometimes our teens get a bad rap around this town for, you know, messing up or they're troublemakers. But these teens are actually some of our biggest volunteers and have put in over 100 hours of volunteer work with their city. So I'm going to invite a couple of them up to the stage, and they're going to give us a quick word about what they think volunteering is and why they think it's important to them.
Great. Thank you very much.
Anthony?
Hello and good evening. My name is Anthony Mandela, and I think that volunteering is important in the community because it helps people get something back and it helps them just get out there and get open.
Well, that's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Hello, my name is Christopher Derry, and I think volunteering is a real big part of Morro Bay because it helps teens get out there and start cleaning up Morro Bay, and it keeps the teen center open and keeps everyone having fun. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Liam Allen. I'm a fellow volunteer, and I'm thankful for the time that I have put in. I've enjoyed almost every second of it. It helps my community. It also helps me as a senior in high school for other reasons, for financial and others, and I'm very glad to be here. Thank you.
Great.
Hello, my name is Sana Correa. I think that volunteering is important to our community, for not only the community but me. It makes me feel like a better person for helping our community, and then it helps clean up our community and just giving back to having a place to live. And it's really good on a college application, which I'm really excited for. So thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those are just a couple of our volunteers. The next event that we'll be doing will be the holiday tree lighting here in the city. We'll be helping out with that, along with a couple of our teens will actually be dressing up as our fellow elves that sit by Santa, and they read to the children and kind of sit down. So we're going to be out there. If you guys see us, come say hello. We're nice people, and we'll help you guys out with whatever you guys need. So,
all right, great.
On behalf of the city, we want to recognize all the work that the Teen Action Club's been doing. at Lila Kaiser and at the parking lots and all these special events, it's really made a huge difference in how people perceive the scene of the teens. And as they can attest, self-esteem is definitely boosted when you're out there volunteering. We have an appreciation of a certificate of appreciation for the club. Hopefully, you guys can get maybe a nicer frame and put it up at the teen center and get some more teens involved in the program, which is ideal. So I want to thank Ed and all the names. Don't give me the memory here, but I want to give you the certificate. And we're also going to take a quick picture and put you guys in some of our media outlets. So step on up. Come together.
Yeah, well, we're standing up here.
Get all squished together.
Yeah,
squish,
squish together.
Squish.
Is this good or?
Oh, it looks good. And then maybe a little bit. You guys, bring Tom up a little bit.
Come on, Tom.
Perfect. All right, thank you, gentlemen. Mr. Commissioners.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everybody.
Hey.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
The Morro Bay High School Music Department's winter concert is the 17th at the PAC, and the choir concert is the 16th also at the PAC. If you've never been to one of these, it's really nice, great music, and see the kids of Morro Bay and Los Osos perform. We have about 160 total performers out of a high school with about 820 students, so almost 20% of the kids are involved in the music program.
Well, that's great. That's wonderful. Okay, we're not going to have a public comment period because there's no public here to comment, so moving on. Oh, wait. We have a public comment. So let's open the floor. Please state your name.
Nancy Castle, member of the public. I want to remind everybody about the Thanksgiving dinner that will occur for the community on Thanksgiving, 1 to 3 p.m. at the Community Center. This is being put on by the Morro Bay Rotary Club and the Police Officers Association and various community members who are dedicated to eating. I volunteered to help with decorations, and I'm working on a turkey that is made out of construction paper handprints, and it's growing to be about this large. So come on down and see the turkey and get something to eat. That's 1 to 3 Thanksgiving afternoon, and the whole community is welcome. Over 600 people were served last year, and we hope to serve that many again this year. There are also the opportunity to have meals to go in Morro Bay. If you call the police department, you can sign up for those or, let people know, come down to the community center or send somebody down to the community center and let them know you need a meal. So it's a great, great day and a great community celebration. Thank you.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you. So now I believe we can close public comment. There was only one. And so we have, let's see if we can, can I get a motion to move D1 to the top of the agenda? We already kind of did that.
We did that.
We did that, so that still stands. Okay. Then let's.
So I think we want to pull A4, right? Certain
well,
or later.
When we get to the
okay.
Agenda,
okay.
Okay. Well, let's hear from staff on D1.
All right. Thank you, Chair Sedaris and Commissioners. Tonight we have a group of staff reports for you on some youth sports programs and adult sports programs that have happened in the spring and early fall. So our first one that we're going to talk about is the Youth T-Ball Coach Pitch Program. This is a spring program that's open to boys and girls ages 4 to 6. And the focus on this program is introducing baseball skills to children. And to encourage more participation with the kids being actively involved to play. We do keep this team sizes small so that we just have infields so the kids have more touches on the ball and more turns up at bat. The season starts with T-ball and progresses to coach pitch, and we end the season with a family potluck barbecue at the end. This program is a merit service program, which means it is set to recover 70 to 79% of our costs, and we recovered 84% of our costs in this program. We also use volunteer coaches, and we have started tracking our volunteer coaches' worth through the Independent Sector Value of Volunteers. It's a national group, and the amount of value of the time of our volunteer coaches for T-ball was $4,510. So when we include that into our program evaluations, our programs exceed the 100% cost recovery on that. You have any questions or comments on T-ball coach pitch?
Nope.
Okay. Then we'll move on to the next one, which is the Estero Bay Youth Futsal Program. This is also a spring program, and it was a non-competitive indoor soccer program. And we had 111 boys and girls from kindergarten through 12th grade participating. And this program also is a merit service program, recovering between 70 and 79%, and it recovered 98% of its costs. And the value of a lot of fun. And with the addition of this event, the middle school programs, our goal is to recover 100% of our costs. We bought some equipment this year that's a one-time purchase for the program, some event flags that we will not have to purchase in the future. So as a result, we only recovered 78% of our costs instead of the full 100%. But if we had taken the cost of those flags out, we would have exceeded our cost recovery goal. And we did have one volunteer coach, and that value of his time was $540. And also at our cross-country meet, we had representatives from the Slow Distance Club come help us with our timing. So we involved the community as well as part of our partnership. So that is middle school cross country. Any questions about that?
I just have a comment. It certainly follows through the success that the high school is having in cross country. They are still involved in CIF, both boys individual and girls team. So this type of program certainly carries on through, and it's greatly appreciated.
Thank you. Okay. Our next program that we did at the middle school this year was middle school volleyball, and this is open to the girls in 6th through 8th grade. Boys will have the opportunity to play volleyball in February through April is when their season is. This year we have two kind of programs within the volleyball program. We had a competitive program and an intramural program. We had a competitive 7th grade team and an 8th grade team that competed against other schools in the community. And then we had four intramural teams that were made up of girls in 6th through 8th grade. So there was combination age groups. So we had some younger girls with some older girls all getting an opportunity to play. They played games amongst themselves, and the intramural girls also had the opportunity to play versus the SLO Classical Academy. They recently added sports last year, and they're becoming more involved in programs. So that was a positive thing for our program. We got lots of positive comments on volleyball. I went to a PTSA meeting, and a couple of the teachers said that just the team spirit and the camaraderie that all the kids involved, you know, we went into the intramural games. It was just like you were there at the school games. They had lots of support from the students plus the families. It was a school program, and it felt really good. And so that was a positive on that. This is an enterprise service. and it's set to recover 100% of its costs, and we recovered 102%. And we had 6 volunteer coaches this year, and their value of their volunteer time was $1,800. That helps us, you know, again, with our bottom line. They were all volunteers for that program. Any questions about volleyball?
How many total participants did you
there have? Were, I believe there were 51 participants. We had 24 on the competitive teams, and the rest were on the intramural teams, which is great because those kids are, again, moving on to the high school and helping with our high school program succeed as well. Okay? And then before I move on to the adult sports programs, I just wanted to touch base about our volunteers being the heart of our programs. And from these 4 programs, our volunteers helped provide over $13,000 worth of value to our programs based on the volunteer hours that they provided to our community. And we are so thankful for all their dedication to the kids and the community and all the time that they give to us. That's really important. And especially now we're moving into basketball season, and in fact we have basketball coaches meetings going on this evening. So the volunteer coaches are a big part of the success of our programs. All right, so I have 2 adult programs to discuss. One is the Labor Day Classic, which is our softball tournament that we hold over Labor Day weekend. We had 22 teams in attendance this year, with 4 of them coming from the Central Coast. The rest of them were from outside the area. We played games all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and our tournament champion was a team from the Valley called Shattered Dreams, who beat Team Sanchez in the final. These are teams that have been in the finals, I believe, last year as well, and they come back to play for their crown every year. This program is a enterprise program, and our goal is 100% cost recovery. We also this year dropped the tournament from a 3-day tournament to 2 days. When we have a full tournament of 24, we do need to go 3 days, but with having fewer than 24 teams, some teams were only playing 1 game a day, and they wanted to play more. So they want to come for the weekend. Most of them stayed through Monday anyways, but they had a fun day to spend here in the community. So we did the tournament in 2 days, and I believe it was well received. I didn't hear any complaints from any of the participants. And so if we're unable to get 24 teams in the future, we will also be looking at doing two days. And the reason we've got fewer teams, ASA has put a championship event on that weekend, and so we lose some teams that go to the championship event instead of coming to our open tournament. But we still get 20. We still had 22 teams, and it was well attended. Any questions on the Labor Day tournament? Okay. And then the last program evaluation I have is our 2014 Spring Adult Softball Program. This league started in March and finished up in early July. We had 24 teams on 3 nights of play with 4 divisions. This program is a merit service program, and it's set to recover between 70 and 79% of our costs, and we were able to recover 90% of our costs this year in the program. One of the things that you'll see under the revenue on here is that we purchase for our teams a insurance program called the SMAF Player Medical Benefit Fund, which is a excess insurance type policy that they can, if someone gets hurt, they can apply for that, and some of their medical costs will be recouped. SMAF also has an additional insurance program that covers more, that teams can opt to pay the difference to increase their insurance. So we have a few teams that have done that over the years because they have people that work part-time or own their own businesses, and they don't always have medical insurance. And so you'll see that under the revenue. We had a team pay extra money to pay for that insurance. So, and also just another note on adult softball, myself and our coordinator met with the coordinators from the other adult softball leagues in the county, Atascadero, San Luis, and Arroyo Grande, to discuss the balls. ASA changed the ball and bat standards over the last 2 years, and so we have worked together and we have found a distributor of softballs that will continue making what's called a 40-core softball for our programs, as long as we know as a group we're going in together and we're ordering those to help keep the costs down. If we go in there and try to order separately, the cost gets to be a little bit more. So the communities have gotten together, and we are working together with them to help keep costs down for all of our programs. Okay?
Thank you very much for your reports.
You're welcome.
Looks like things are going good. Remember, if anybody out there wants to participate or volunteer, go on the Morro Bay City website, go to Parks and Recs, and there's all that cool stuff that's available for you to do here. So enjoy your stay. Mr. Woods?
Thank you, Chair Sedaris. That was, I think there was 6 out of the 9 that were presented from sports. And thank you, Supervisor Sweeney, for those reports. She's got another meeting. She's off to basketball.
Okay.
Basketball coach, but she had talked to about earlier. So we got a lot of volunteers over there, so she's going to hook up with her staff. The last three programs on D1 have to do with Kids Club and Kids Camp and the teens. And so I will start with the Kids Club program, which is the 2013-2014 fiscal year. We have outlined on this is a before and after school program. It's an enrichment program. It's involved. We've been involved for the last 40 years. And we meet the state mandates and regulations. It's become a valued program at Del Mar School for not only the students and the faculty, but the parents as well. We have proactively pursued cost support, support cost reductions, while keeping the fees and the reimbursable ceilings at the state child care subsidies. So not raising the fees so high that the subsidies don't kick in, and they're not so low that we're outside of our cost recovery. And this program is classified as a merit service category, and thus is supposed to be recovering 70 to 80% of its program and support costs. You'll see on the first page that the revenues were just slightly over slightly under the expense and to be part of the community. We have special events and field trips, and we listed some of them that the children participated in the 13-14 year, and I'll mention a few. Patriots Day, lights on after school, Michelle Obama's birthday, Earth Day, Del Mar had an open house, there was a garden club that came, and we also were actively participating in the Mermaid and Pirate Parade, which is down at the Rock and along the Harbor Walk itself. I would pause at this time to ask the commissioners if they have any questions regarding the Kids Club program for the fiscal year 13-14.
Well, it looks like it's going very well.
Okay. So I will move on to Kids Camp. So the different Kids Camp program for 2014 is a different program. Even though it starts with kids, it ends with camp. And it's not a state certified program, so we're not mandated. So you see there's a few more children involved in this program as opposed to the school program. This program is the camp program, like I said. We offer this program to kids that are going into TK through sixth grade. This is a quality day camp experience. It is handled 9 weeks this summer. The previous summer was only 8. We based it when the families are available, and it's during the school summer break. Approximately 80 children each day, and they participated in a wide variety of adventures that focus on wildlife and the great outdoors. And if you're familiar with Kids Camp, every week is a theme week. It's very well orchestrated, very well, you know what your child's getting into. Every one of our leaders has done program plans, school plans, And so there is a lesson that in each of our plants. And there's obviously there's some open play, but there's a lot of teaching, there's a lot of enrichment, and there's field trips on Friday, which are a lot of fun. Our cost recovery for this program, I thought it was 70 to 79%, but we're looking at some of our groceries, our gross revenues and expenses, and our cost recovery is at 103%. So our program costs are about just under $80,000, and our revenues are right about $82,000. So 103% is our cost recovery. If we bring in our volunteers, and we talked about volunteers earlier, we're just under 4,000 with those volunteers based on the independent sector of the California State Survey. So according to that, it's $24.75 an hour. We're looking at just under 4,000. So our cost recovery bumps from 103 to 108%, which is high, but it's still obtainable because we're putting the money that is over into the general fund and quite frankly, back into the program for the next fiscal year. Our cost allocations, it fluctuates for the 9 weeks because of the enrollment. Some people have drop-ins, some people are 1 week, some are three, some are all summer long. So it's very flexible as far as what the family needs, and that's why you see some of the cost recovery a little bit higher. Some years it's not so high. Depends on who's signing up and what, for what program. But in this particular year, we had the cost allocations applied, our program and support costs tied in with our net revenue. Our cost recovery is at 96%, which is very palatable, but realize it's a 70 to 79% cost recovery program. So it's well above our target rate, but our staff is always looking to cut our fixed expenses and bring in the revenues, so we're looking more towards 100%, but not quite there because we don't want to price out families or participants from the program. And I wanted to mention just a few things on the transition. You might ask yourself, why are we bringing in transitional kindergarten into the summer camp? We only had four this last program period, but we think there's going to be more. It was the first time we offered it to children going into TK, and we think that's going to go up through awareness, and when the people see that there's really a solid quality program, they're going to want their child to be part of that. So that concludes my report regarding Kids Camp 2014. I'd be happy to open up to any questions at this time.
Has anyone got any questions? No, looks like it's going very well. Thank you. And thank all the volunteers and people that helped support these things.
Okay. This last program evaluation, it is the last one, I promise, is involved in the tree lighting program. And so they're very excited about their time in the community, and that is so important. To see and to hear that, it's something that we haven't had, but to have it is quite awesome. As far as Heather Seifert and Ed Gallardo, getting out in the community, looking for more volunteer opportunities, and we have received them. This has been over the last 5 years. They've been increasing their volunteerism. You can see in 2010 and 11, they were at 335 hours, and this last year, they bumped up to 806 hours. So not only are they getting more kids involved, but the kids who are involved are participating longer in volunteering. Some of the programs that they had done and are still doing in 2013-14, Lila Kaiser Park, the Adoptive Park program, which has been ideal for them, that they are involved in the 4th of July. They've got a little game booth, and they have games for the kids at the 4th of July Titans Park. They're helping out with the setup and the breakdown at the Rock to Pier Run and the Rocking Around the Pier Half Marathon. They're doing parking lot striping, which is huge for us. And that's a really big monetary saving for the city when you have a group of teens coming out and doing the striping, which we know we would have to pay or have full-time staff do. These guys and girls have gone out and done closures, a parking lot, city hall, They've done some work at the community center. There's probably some ones that I'm missing, but there's some ones coming up. As the city does the pavement management plan, we're hoping we can do some parking lots. Del Mar parking lot's going to be getting done here fairly soon, and we're hoping to get a change order on and get the Bayshore Bluffs resealed as well. When we reseal them, we'll invite the teens in to help us restripe if they're available. That's what will happen. Some of the other programs that's coming up, which is the Morro Bay Merchants Street Fair. I think it's November the 30th. It's the Sunday after Thanksgiving, so make sure you go down there. Say hi to a teen when you see them. They help out the Morro Bay Senior Citizens Incorporated. They help with the holiday tree lighting. And they also help with the Central Coast Monster Skate Series, which is a skating tournament that goes all throughout the county. So that's some of the things that the teens are doing. I'd be happy to open up to any questions that you might have regarding this report.
What is the the average daily? I see the monthly attendance. What do they average daily at the teen center?
I want to say it's between 20 and 30, right around there. It was a little bit higher. It was close to like 50, 60, almost 70 when we had the late Monday starts. And the high school, we were working with the high school and getting the kids who were, when the campus wasn't open and the buses were dropping them off, where were they going to go? So we opened up the teen center earlier. But I don't believe they're doing the Monday late starts right now. So our attendance has gone down a little bit more. But I still think we're right around 30 participants per day.
Besides the skate park, what other activities, when someone's at the teen center, do they participate in?
There is a host of activities at the teen center. In the back, there is some basketball. But inside, we've got we've got air hockey, and we've got foosball, thank you. There's billiards, there's a big screen TV, we've got computers, we've got three or four computers set up that people can get on and do homework, they can surf the internet, we've got various Nintendo games. Probably the Nintendo's probably showing my age a little bit, because it's probably like PlayStation 55 by now. But there are a lot of drop-in programs like computer games that they can get into. Like I said, the different traditional air hockey and futsal and foosball, pardon me. And we've got movies. We've got a small snack bar there as well. Hopefully we'll be doing some more, increasing some more programs there. But we didn't get the grant monies to expand that, but we haven't given up.
What are the hours that is staffed?
No, I don't want to give you the wrong hours. Thank you, Commissioner Coxwell, for tasking me with that. For the sake of not giving you the wrong hours, we do have a website. And we have the hours there. I believe we do have them listed in our status report. In your packet A1, and we generate probably in the last month 835 kilowatt hours, which is fantastic. In October we had about 758 kilowatt hours. So we are generating 180 kilowatt hours per day, per week. So it is going very well. We're very happy. And I think the last bill was like almost non-existent when we had to true up with the power company. So we are generating more power than we're using. So as we predicted, we would be coming off the grid and generating. And right now, our utility bill was about $2,000 a year. And we borrowed that money from the park in lieu. We are paying it back, $2,000 every year. And we should have, obviously, 6 and 3 years. And our payback was a little over 3 years. So we are right on target for our payback. And the solar array is working great. And thank you for asking.
That's wonderful.
Any other questions regarding the Teen Action Club and the Teen Center?
Nope.
And with that, then I would ask for the chair to look for a motion to accept D1,
yes,
which is about 9 participation or program evaluations per file. Thank you.
Yes, make it a motion, please.
I second that motion.
Well, you get a motion first.
I'd like to make a motion to pass D2 or accept it for file.
D1,
as I said, yeah.
Okay, I second that motion, too.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. It's no, nobody against it? No. It's filed. All right. Let's move on. Okay. So we're going to go to A1. Mr. Woods, we're back to you then. If we're going to... staff want to look at that, or
we're just gonna pull. We're gonna accept A1
pull
through A4, except the ones we want to pull. And I wanted to pull A2.
Okay. Well, I think we want to pull A4. Do I have a motion to pull A4?
Well, can we do A2 real quick first?
Sure.
You want any A item that you'd like to approve, and then any A1 that you're going to pull, and then I'd be happy to address anything that you pull at that time.
I'll make a motion to approve A1 and A3.
Second motion.
Oh, and A5, sorry. A1, A3, and A5, except for file.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None? Okay. File those, and we'll pull 2 and 4.
So, yeah, I just had a question on A2. Can I ask that now?
Sure.
Okay. All right, so these are a lot of exciting updates from the Morro Bay Citizens Bike Committee, and one of which is that there will be the project to connect the Class 1 multi-use trail across the Tascadero Road, the Morro Bay Cayucas Gap Closure. Oh, I'm sorry, not that one. Where'd it go? Okay, yeah, that is the one. So the multi-use trail across the Tascadero Road, the Morro Bay Cayucas Gap Closure, that's been rebid. But my question is, where exactly is that? The action is to add crosswalks with push-button activated flashing lights and green painted bike lanes. And I'm just trying to picture where that is. Is that west of Highway 1 or north of or east of Highway 1? Trying to imagine where that is.
That's a good question, and thank you. The Morro Bay Cayucas Connector, or gap closure, is also called the Morro Bay Cayucas Connector. And it starts at the Cloisters and goes all the way to Cayucas. The connector, the hard line, the improvements start in at the Cloisters or that right about Azure Street. The new bike paths are west of Highway 1, and they're from Yerba Buena all the way to Cayucas. And the flashing to cross over is that at Old Creek Road. And that, so when we talk about this push-button activated flashing lights and green-painted lines, the green-painted lines are continuous, but the flashing is really where you're going to cross the freeway, and that's going to be down on more in Cayucas, because you're not crossing over in Morro Bay. It goes through the existing streets, which is from Azure Street, that parking lot there, along the project, and its final stages of getting permits.
Okay, because when it says across the Tascadero Road, that's when I started thinking, oh, that's by the high school. Wouldn't that be great to have kids have a nice, safe, obvious way to cross between the bike path that ends at the high school there and then over to Motel, I think it's Motel 6. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's what I thought.
When you're talking about the multi-use trail, that is a different program.
Okay.
The multi-use trail is one that starts on the Embarcadero, and it goes, instead of going down, instead of turning west on Coleman Drive, you go forward on Embarcadero, dirt extended, and that's the bike path, Harbor Walk, and then there's the new bridge that goes across Morro Creek, and then it hits Atascadero Road.
Okay.
And then it would go in, and then it would connect with the bike path at the high school.
Okay.
And then as you traverse through the high school.
So it would go from the other side of Atascadero. There is going to be a crosswalk or something from, do you know what I'm talking about? Or more where?
Right in front of the high school.
Yeah, okay, great.
No.
That is in the works. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Certainly.
Okay, are there any other questions?
On A2?
On A2? No?
I would just make one comment if I could, Commissioner.
Yes.
Chair Sedaris, pardon me. On number 11 on the Citizens Bike Committee's letter, number 11 says repair the path through Del Mar, and that connects Ironwood and Island Street. And that pathway is through Del Mar Park, and that project is scheduled to be done when the parking lot's scheduled to be redone.
Oh, okay.
And hopefully, my fingers are crossed, that project starts in January. And the weather's cooperative, though we love the rain.
Mm-hmm.
It's also time that we, need to do road repairs and so forth. And so those two are tied together. So hopefully the pathway and the parking lot will be completed by March 2015.
Great. Remind everybody out there to share the road with the bicyclists, and the bicyclists make sure you have all your reflectors and lights working so it's all be safe this holiday season.
So one more quick question about the bike park.
Oh.
I read here, looks like it's been stalled. With insurance concerns, and then the actual site might be changing from where we were thinking over by the hill. Instead of being there, we're thinking about another spot. Is that true? Could you update us on that?
I will certainly try to give you the best update as I can. This item was brought to the commissioners, months ago, and approved the construction and operation and maintenance agreement, or MOU, with the bike group. And since we've met with legal, it's changed. And our second party is actually going to be the CCCMB, Central Coast Concerned Mountain Bikers. And they are scheduled to go into an agreement with the city, an MOU, two-party MOU. That's going to go to council's review. Right now, it's where the final touches on that with staff and with the CCCMB. And once that gets ironed out, it'll go to city council, probably the first meeting in January, which we will go, and the location will remain the same right now, just off of Little Morro Creek Road, in between Little Morro Creek Road and Main Street. And that's the one we've been talking about. It's the one that's been engineered and
okay.
drawn and everything
okay.
associated with that site. There was a potential additional site that we hadn't looked at before, and that was a possibility. So we pulled it off the agenda at City Council to look at this potential site, and that was adjacent to Lila Kaiser.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, within Lila Kaiser, and with the power plant making the changes, there was some properties that were becoming available, and that would be, instead of leasing, Lila Kaiser would be owning it. That is not on the table right now, and what is on the table is what the city owns, and the lot that we discussed earlier is the one that is still on the table for us.
Okay, so the neighbors are kosher with it being there, and there's no complaints that way. Is that correct?
I couldn't say yes or no as far as how they're feeling about this. There are some traffic concerns that we've addressed, and we'll continue to address. Every citizen deserves some attention, and whether you live in the Heights there on off of Radcliffe, the allocations of about $50,000. From the governmental impact fees fund towards replacement of certain elements of Titans Park play structure. Staff does not believe it's in our best interest, nor do we have the money to remove the concrete boat. We are looking to make that boat safer than it is. Some of the wood members on that boat would be replaced with bow wood or Trex. I don't want to give out a shout out for Trex, but something that would be non-splintering, non-wearing, and non-painting kind of a thing. The other elements we are looking at, we have several diagrams. I'm going to go over to the maybe I can get some help from the video crew to work the projection screen. I hear some rumbling. There she comes. Thank you, Nancy. So the Highlands Park. So we have several ideas that have come through. We have playground landscape structures has provided us with. I think this is like one of three different diagrams. This diagram, I don't have my laser pointer. But you can see it as it festoons throughout the play structure, there's concrete walls that simulate waves, if you will. Well, that's very, it's been very limited to for the fall space for certain features to be within certain sections of that. And so right now on the perimeter of the boat, you'll see that there are large seals that are concrete. And there's also a big whale's tail. Due to the height of that tail and the fall zone, it shouldn't be there. Bottom line is you shouldn't be climbing on it. It's more of an aesthetic look as opposed to a play structure. So we're looking to remove some of the seals that have been damaged, some like the whale's tail that cannot be used. And some of the other stuff that has been old and has been dangerous has been removed. So this is one of the diagrams that was produced. There's a double surfboard on the very bottom right. There is a cargo net that's attached to the boat. There are some other apparatus or features there that tend to be more custom to this program. And the next slide will tell you that they're looking at... I think it was a little over $100,000 to do the replacement of that. Yeah, that was close. I think it's, there are some elements in here that we have to remove, that we are scheduled to remove in-house, and there are others that that a certified playground guy is going to remove and/or install all the new stuff. So when you talk about a play structure and a piece that's on there. There's more to it. It's like an iceberg. There's more to it than the surface because there's a lot of the foundation and that it supports so it doesn't move and it's a safe piece. I will flip through a few more of these so you guys can get an idea that we've been working on this play structure. We'd be looking for someone from the commissioner if they want to help out staff and give us some more insight. If you'd like this item to come back. Right now... maybe you can just go, Nancy, if you can just go through those, if we can get an idea of briefly what they are. This is another diagram where we've changed it up a little bit. There's some lower features in some of those pit areas, I'll call them, where the fall zone isn't so great. To remove the walls that are there is going to be very costly. So see how they are, their waves. To use those with lower features would be in our best interest. So we figured, hey, we'd be a little cheaper and or less expensive, not cheap, because play structures are very expensive to install and also to maintain. So this one came in rather high. The price for this one was like $99,000 and some change. So it was like, not quite. Remember earlier I said we got about $50,000 to work with here, and so we're kind of like, well, how about this and that? And so we kind of work with our rep and say, what else can you give us that's in our price range? And she came up with another drawing. And this drawing is, again, it has the lower type of features on the left-hand side. So the double little surfboard for participants. And you can see the boat, and just below the boat, it's like a cross. It's actually a cannon. So it's a, and the canon, is obviously, it's we're staying with the imaginative type of a playground. So you're not seeing a lot of slides, swing, to adhere to state regulations regarding fall zones and so forth. You'll still see the canon. And then the bottom left-hand side, you'll see that there's blue. And the blue is not sand. It's the rubberized material that's out there now. Staff recognizes that's not in good shape. And one of our next items on our agenda, our task, is to remove that entirely and fill it with sand, at least until we can get our plan together. So it's safer than it is now, and it is more appealing to look at. And this particular area, the blue area, is the rubber, but it, obviously it looks like water. And it has a little dinghy boat. It's a concrete dinghy boat. And that is an octopus, also known as the Kraken. So we can. So when you're out there playing, it's like you could be in the dinghy, and the, here comes the octopus is going to get you, and then you have friends in the boat, and the cannon's going off, and you've got off to the left, which I think I really like the idea, is the little springy toys that you see in various play structures. They have one or two out there, but our idea is to put more than just two, at least five dolphins. And so you have a pod of dolphins that are going next to the ship. So if someone wants to get out there, and they're the right size, obviously, and they can do the little springy dolphin, and they could be next to the ship. So we got a pod of dolphins, and so that's more of an idea that we're looking for. Though we won't be able to afford all of that because the octopus and the cannon, these are custom features, and they're quite expensive. And $50,000 is... there's not a penny more. So we're very, very tight with what we've produced. The last couple items aren't from this company, but we like the idea of having a cargo net and a crow's nest, which goes along with our, which is actually a climbable piece of play structure and safe, and goes along with our imaginative theme. So that was one of our ideas. And the last one, there was a dinghy boat that came in later, but earlier on we talked about putting in some kind of a boat, and this is a patrol boat that actually, it's called the spring boat. It springs around. It actually, the whole thing rocks. Huh. So we're looking for something in that area, that first area, that's going to be something that younger kids can get on, kids that might be physically handicapped, that aren't able to do larger features, that could get into a smaller feature and still, you know, be connected to the play and connected to friends and so forth. So there's a combination that goes on. We want to make sure there's some good thought. We don't want to take too long, and right now we want to make it as safe as possible. So we're looking to do a little bit of demo, more than we had before, and then go into... some additions, like the pot of dolphins and so forth. So I appreciate you pulling this item and asking about it. Hopefully some of the pictures have shown that there's been some thought behind this. We are more than welcome to solicit any information or any kind of ideas that the commissioners have or anybody from the public that might have. Send them to us by email. Talk to one of the commissioners. If you feel like you want to assign one or two commissioners to meet with staff to discuss, if someone feels very passionate about it, you're more than welcome. If not, we will continue on with the plan that I had just mentioned.
I'd like to have some time to talk to the community and get their input, and then I'll pass it forward.
Good. And we'll certainly look forward to that. Thank you.
Also, I'm just curious. I know it's a whole different type of park, but how much is a swing set, just a two-seater swing set, ballpark?
Installed? Because install is, if I'm not taking anything out, then it's a lot cheaper.
Okay.
So you're looking at probably somewhere around $5,000-$6,000.
Okay.
And then there's going to be some install, so We're probably looking at about $7,000-$8,000.
Okay.
Because we've got to install it, and it's got to be certified that it's been installed correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing you want to do is, after the install's been done, no matter who does the install, another party, a separate person, needs to come through that's certified as a playground safety inspector and do a playground structure audit. So everything needs to be audited prior to, and once they've been audited, then you can do could be weekly or monthly inspections.
Okay.
And there is some plans for swings. The commission wants to see our final drawing and give us like a thumbs up, like we really like.
Oh, sure, we would.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So probably have something for you in January.
You might even get us to go down there and play on the stuff.
Hey, there's an age limit.
But no swings, no.
Anything else on A4 that you'd like me to address at this time?
Anyone? No? You got a motion to accept and file there?
I'll make a motion that we accept and file A4.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None.
And before we leave that item, I have one comment.
Okay.
On, I think it's the second page, Slow Capra, and the commissioner's workshop is scheduled for March the 7th. And I haven't confirmed the 7th for sure. But I know it's in March. I know it's 2015. So if you're holding the 7th for this, give me a call, and we'll confirm it for you. But I'm about 90% sure it is March the 7th, which is the commissioner's workshop, Slow Capra. Saturday. And we have a change of venue. It's going to be in Paso Robles at one of the winery facilities. And it's going to be a nice new facility, and we've got some different sponsors, so we're mixing up a little bit for you and really have a nice program developing. I didn't mean to digress, but thank you for that time, Commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
Yours.
Mm-hmm. All right. Looks like we're moving right along. So is there any unfinished business? Do I know?
Yes. Yes, there's no B1, but there's the last item for tonight, besides the future agenda items, is the work program, C1.
Oh, yes.
And if I may, C1 is brought to you on this mid-year. This is like November now, and we started this process in January. We implemented the work program in July with the adoption of the budget. So from July through today's date is what we've done so far in the work program. We've changed the work program, its format and the look. So if it looks like it's brand new, it has a new look. It's some of the old information. And so this is a planning document that helps us out. So as we progress through the process, this is like our second time around with the work program, maybe the third, and we're making it a little bit easier for you to read, a few more columns for us to check, such as not just cost recovery and date, but also when it was completed, how it was funded, this particular task. And we've added some comments, and we're a little shy on some of the comments. So if you have some questions and you don't see comments there, feel free to ask me about those items, because I think it's important that you have the right information so you can disseminate it to your folks. It's broken down into different sections, different divisions, administration, sports, youth services. Commissioners also have a little section in there. Parks, streets, and fleet maintenance, and facilities. So we have quite a few. And at the very end, page 11, 12 and 13, we have Department Capital Project Summary. So if you'd like me to go through each section, I'd be happy to do that. If you want to go section by section and say, hey, if there is any questions about administration section, if there's not, we can move on to the next section. Maybe that might be an easy way for us to completely cover everything and then answer your questions at the same time. And I'd be looking for a nod of approval from the
chair. Yes, okay? I'm nodding approval.
So then so even though this is not a workshop per se, this kind of lends itself to a workshop kind of atmosphere, and so questions and answers can certainly be part of it. The first division is the admin division, and majority or if not all of these services are general fund. The GF is general fund. So these are general fund funded programs. Number one is to implement and manage the department registration system, which is active. When the next meeting is, I want to know when the next workshop is, and they're able to get that information emailed directly to them via Notify Me. They also get news flashes, and we put out news flashes frequently regarding, hey, there's a new profile for a class we're doing, or we're having a special neighborhood meeting at the cloisters, or something like that. And then the newest and most exciting is Facebook. We have a new Facebook page. For the city of Morro Bay right now. And please go to Facebook and like us. Give us a thumbs up. And you'll get some really great information about what's happening in Morro Bay. And it's current, it's fresh, and it's right what you want to know. And it's right where you're at anyway with Facebook. So we're excited about having that outlet for us and to connect with the community. And we're hoping that you guys can enjoy that as well. Some of the other things on the first page are fairly self-explanatory. The second page as well, you certainly have liaisons with the Morro Bay Community Foundation, which is myself. I'm the advisor, and we'll be meeting this Friday, tomorrow at 12. We meet every month on the third Friday of the month at noon, generally at the fire station. We just wrapped up our annual Morro Bay Sings, and Morro Bay Sings Country was our last venue, was our last program, and that was on November the 8th, and we brought in over $11,000 as a fundraiser. And last fiscal year, which ended in June, the foundation writes a check to the city of Morro Bay for all the scholarships for the year. And last year, last year was scholarships, but we got the check this year, above $36,000. I'll probably get the number wrong. But $36,000, which is an incredible amount of scholarships that were awarded to needy families and to get kids to participate in sports in the enrichment program. So anytime you can take your hat off to the foundation or shake a hand, please do that, because they do a tremendous job. Right now they're in the middle of their annual campaign. So if you get an envelope in the mail and you're able to do that, please donate. Every little bit counts, and it adds up and goes directly to families on the Estero Bay to participate in recreation and parks programs. And we do have a number, $36,694. Pardon me. We have a liaison with the Senior Citizens Incorporated, and that's Heather Sawyer-Frith. We've got a new senior coordinator, and her name is Shannon Shawicki. And she's not in the office now, but she'll be coming back soon. And we're working with the Senior Citizens Incorporated, and we're getting back on their feet. So that group is getting to remake themselves, and we're continuing to provide recreational services for like 50% of our population, which are seniors. And I know it's a harsh word at 55, but it's a good thing to be a senior, definitely. some of the other things that are going on, like number 14, which is the providing in-house, the in-service training for CPR and first aid, we invite the CJPIA. We ask them to come out and give us this this training, and we're going to be doing that. We do it every 2 years, and that's an ongoing thing, and we'll be doing that, I think, in January or February, early 2015. So our self-insured program, which is the CJPIA, California Joint Powers Insurance Authority, they're the ones who come out and say, hey, you should think about doing this, think about doing that. They look at our risk, our loss program, and make some strong recommendations. And so we try to adhere to that as best as possible, and this training is certainly one that we definitely need and continue to do. Our Adopt a Park program is obviously, you know, you've heard, you see the groups come here to you every meeting, and they we do a luncheon for them last July. And we have a strong recommendation to do that again, to improve on that, make it a little bit more interactive with the groups. And if you want to work with staff on that, let me know. Give me a holler and say, hey, what can we do? I think the Adopt a Park program is a strong program, something that I really care about and want to retain more of the groups that we have. And it's difficult, and it's something that we're going to keep our efforts on. I've asked our new city manager, David Buckingham, to help us out with some ideas. Not so much of a attraction, because we just got Morro Bay Beautiful to adopt Anchor Memorial Park. This pass was Measure D, which is a significant amount of money that's going to be going to the schools via property tax. So I've been invited, and it's as early as the first week in December. I think it's going to be the third. Well, I'll be going down with the school district staff, as well as hopefully some volunteers from the Estero Bay Community Pool Foundation, as well as the architect who's designing the pool at the high school, down at the Royal Granite to look at their pool, talk about pool and pool designs, programs that the city is looking to offer. How is the design going to facilitate the programs that we're going to have for the community or offer for the community? And move from there. They are on a fast track to get the pool completed. There's a lot of renovations at the high school, but the pool is one of their top priorities. And I can say that with certainty, because the phone calls and emails that I've been getting is definitely on the fast track. So it is great to hear that, and it's great to be part of it. So if anybody on the commission would like to comment or be part of what's happening, my door is always open. Please.
Well, I would, even in a meeting today with the superintendent, the pool at Morro Bay High School is faster than fast track. It's going to be the preliminary item that's taken care of. And I would be more than happy to assist the city in helping take care of the needs that the city wants and being able to use the pool.
I definitely appreciate that. And I've been asked today about, you know, what kind of programs are going to go on and how much is going to cost us and do we have extra money for this and that. And there's a lot of questions being asked right now, and we have a lot of answers. We just need to get the right folks in the right room in the room together and get on the same page. And we're very, very close. When Commissioner Coxwell says we're on the fast track, I haven't seen it any faster than this. And part of the reason is there's going to be some maintenance at Cuesta Pool. And when Cuesta Pool goes into the maintenance period, I think it's 2016, we'd like to have this one up and running. You get a comment on that?
Yeah, they certainly want to be ahead of the Cuesta Pool. And it also gives the school district an opportunity to show that they are serious about the quality of facilities that they're going to improve at both of the high schools. And there's a lot of hoops to jump through, but the school district is headed it to make the pool their showcase.
Good, and thank you. And so that kind of wraps up the admin section of our work program. If there's any questions, I'll move on to the commissioner's section. Is there any questions on admin?
Any questions? No, it all looks pretty
questions,
good.
Concerns? Okay. And now your liaison to the senior board, Commissioner Al Romero.
Yes, I am.
Got your name right there. So I would imagine if there's any announcements on those, you would have taken care of those. This is generally a general fund category. The general fund is sponsoring all the activities that the commissioners have. There is some slow capital funds that are brought in. And it looks like March the 15th is the date. No, March 2015. So she was uncommitted on the date as well. So the commissioners works out for the slow capra, March 2015. And this work program is very, I mean, if you don't have questions tonight, take this home, look at it some more, add, edit, delete, talk to me, and let's, because we're going to start the next 2015-16 fiscal year work program in January at your next meeting. So even though this is still active for seven more months, the new one starts. And so some of these are going to go ongoing and continue on. Some of them won't. For the most part, hopefully they will. And the last, number seven, I'll mention that the commissioners, you provide a commissioner to attend city council meetings when there's an item that appears on their agenda. So like the bike park, it's been on your agenda. You've said, hey, who can follow this to city council? And you look on the far in the comments, Commissioner Crowley will follow the bike park MOU. So even though she had to leave this evening, she'd be your one to go forward and speak at public comment regarding, actually I think it's a public hearing, on the bike park, and then report back to you as far as announcements. So keep that in mind, percent cost recovery. So when you see the cost recovery dip below 100, that's telling us that there's more of a community benefit in that program than another program that would be 100%. So there's more of a community benefit from Kids Club than there would be from a Rock to Pier Run. That's just how we break it down in the business. But I think it's important to know when you see the cost recovery dip a little bit, that means that we're, as a city, going to be subsidizing a program. Why would we subsidize any kind of program? Because of the community benefit and also the indirect economic impact. And both those items, when you get both those items together, you've got community enrichment or benefit, and you have an indirect economic impact, it's like, hey, we can make up the difference real easy and put more monies into the general fund, like softball tournaments. They're a big indirect economic impact for our city. You'll also see league lineup. We manage league lineup. It's a lot more friendly than the active is regarding our leagues as far as softball and our youth sports leagues. And we have a direct link on our webpage to that site, and our sports supervisor, Karen, you met earlier, handles all the updates on the league lineup. We will continue to do an all-comers track meet. And we did that, number 10, we did that with the Rock and Roar, which I just love that name, Rock and Roar, at the beach. And when we do runs and meets at the beach, we keep them very inexpensive because we don't close down streets. We don't have a lot of police involved. Actually, we don't have any police involved or fire. It's a lot of volunteers for the setup and the breakdown, and it's very minimal cost. And we pass those savings on to the runner, one of the cheapest half marathons you'll find out there. And right now, a lot of runs are going for $100, $120, $130. And we're well below that. We're around $50 per participant. So it's and our swag bag is awesome. So, and then the rest of these programs are, we talked about the middle school programs, and the last two were just some one-time buys that we're looking to do. any questions you might have on youth or recreational sports and fitness. If not, I'll quickly go through our youth services. There are 9 items in there. Even though there's only 9, they are big ones. Like Kids Club and Kids Camp, those are big programs. I mean, those 2 programs go throughout the entire year. And we will continue to provide those services. So we've added the TK, and hopefully that will be expanding in the next year. We talked about the monster skates. The holiday tree lighting is coming up. It's December the 6th. That's going to be at the City Park at 4:30. It's a lot of fun. If you haven't ever gone, it's time to get out and brave a little bit of the weather and go to City Park. It's really cool. And then you can trek down and watch the Light of Bow Parade, which is along the Brocadero and in the bay, which is awesome. We've covered a lot of what else is on the youth services. And remember, it's not only youth services. Heather Sider Fifth handles all the teen programs as well as the senior programs. So it's youth, it's teens, it's seniors, and that's what we program. Any questions on those services at this time?
No.
Okay, and I will quickly go on to facilities. I will point out just a few things that the facilities division is 3 full-time guys. We just hired 2 new part-time guys. We have about at least 3, maybe 4, depends on how their background comes through. And they're in charge of all your public buildings, all your public restrooms on a daily basis, not only the cleanliness and janitorial, but also the repair and maintenance. And all your city-owned buildings. So when you look at the police department, the fire, and the harbor office, or you look at City Hall and public services, and this particular building, Vets Hall, and the Morro Bay Community Center, these are buildings that need maintenance, and they're not young. The newest building is the community center, and it's going on 26 years. So it's like, wow, it's been a long time. So these guys are out there trying to make the assets that we have last in a safe and desirable state, best they can. And they've been doing a terrific job. That's been 2 or 3 times. Right now we think we've got a really good combination of in-house staff because we're very responsive. We can stay at one site longer than we need to for another. But we'd like to take on more of a outsourcing business model, if you will, when we approach public restrooms. We looked at neighboring cities and they've contracted it out, which is fine, but I think that we get more control of our resources when we don't. And if we were to clean the restrooms, lock and stock them, and then lock them in the evenings, and then open them up at 7 when the parks open up. So we're looking to provide a better service for the public, even though it's less use per se on the public restrooms. But you really shouldn't be in the park after dark anyway. It's closed. So we're working on some details on how we're going to do that. A lot of public information, a lot of sharing the knowledge that, hey, we're going to close this down. So signs on the public restrooms are definitely on our radar, as well as information that's going to be disseminated in on our Facebook page, on our website, and let us know our news flashes. So we're going to try to get the word out the best we can. So we're hoping to start that on January the 1st. We don't want to go too soon, but we want to be ready to go when we do. So that's public restrooms, and we should have some more for you at your January meeting. But stay tuned, and if that's really piques your interest, I would be happy to hear some of your feedback.
So what are the hours currently?
Currently, we don't close the public restrooms at all. So I would say 24/7. And it hasn't been productive in the point where we can't keep them clean as much as they're being used. And if we have folks out there using the restrooms, misusing the restrooms, I should say, after hours or throughout the night, then it's a lot of work to keep them clean in the morning. And then they could be dirty, you know, the next user. So it's really hard to maintain them the way we want to maintain them. But staff feels, and we've talked about this for a long time, that cleaning them, stocking them, and locking them has been a good business model for other cities. If we tried that here and gave the public good notice, and then our full-timers came in the morning, open them up, and verify that they're clean and stocked, and then they're ready for the day. So that's our idea. We're hoping that that it works well. It's a tough one because we don't want to be the ones that lock up public restrooms. But the bottom line is, they should be locked up. We shouldn't have people sleeping in them. We shouldn't have them being destroyed overnight. They should be sitting clean and then opened up, as opposed to sitting dirty and then trying to keep up with something that's quickly. The deterioration of public restrooms is more than we can keep up with. But if we have some reprieve, I think over the night, we'd be able to maintain them a little bit easier, a little bit better, a little higher quality. And that's what I've been hearing from the community, is a higher level of service.
Have we made an attempt to see who is using them? Is it the public or is it transient? What? Overnight?
The overnight is not the general public per se. It's more of a transient population that has been in our public restrooms. We've had some not so favorable outcomes, and some the ones we have to deal with. There's excessive vandalism and graffiti in certain locations at certain times of the year. So we're hoping we can curtail that. We feel in the wintertime, there's less use of the public restrooms, and we're more apt to change the time and the operations in the winter than we are in the summertime.
Well, it only makes sense to me that they should only be open when the parks are open. My opinion.
So that's what we're working on. I was covering the section in facilities. We are doing some renovations. We're going to be doing some renovations at City Hall. We have a few things that are scheduled for there to be done. And mostly, that's a general fund, but mostly it's deferred maintenance account fund that is sponsoring those activities. And those are approved by City Council and have been for this fiscal year. The next section, if there's nothing more on facilities, I'll go into parks. And we'll continue to change out our signs. You see the Off-Leash Dog Park, and that's at Del Mar. They've done a tremendous job. They've gone through a few hiccups with some people coming and going, but their docents program is strong. Their volunteers are strong. And right now we're working on the inclement weather. You know, there's some areas that took a beating with no water, and the grass is dying out, and we've had some big water leaks out of Del Mar Park. Because of the clay and the adobe that's in the soil there, it just expands and contracts, and when it dries out, it's really hard on the pipes, and the pipes are big. I'm talking about 3-4 inch lines, and when they snap, it's a pretty big water loss, and when we turn them off, it's even worse on the turf. So we've been dealing with that, and we're looking at some long-term solutions as far as the entrance to the dog park and the watering areas and so forth. And we are working with the Morro Bay Bike Club group, if you will, and the Central Coast Concerned Mountain Bikers as well. And we talked about that MOU earlier.
I had an occasion to be at Del Mar Park this last Saturday. Incredible use. Just there were roller hockey, probably 6 or so people, followed by 20 soccer players on that, another 10 plus playing basketball. We had the whole girls' tennis team out on the tennis courts, and then all of the picnic areas. But the use was incredible for a Saturday afternoon in November.
And we staff certainly appreciate you going out there making that observation. It's a heavily used park, and I think when we make the improvements to the parking lot, when we make the improvements to the pathway, eventually when we make the improvements to the restroom, what a great asset that will be. When we add the drinking fountain in by the tennis courts, what a great asset that will be. And then we also have some talks that staff's been doing regarding the group area on the very top of the park. It's like the east part of the park when you're pulling off of Ironwood. There's a group area there. And looking at those, that group area, as well as the horseshoe pits, and possibly redesigning that. And hopefully we'll get together with Cal Poly and get some students involved and get some new, fresh ideas. And hopefully you guys at the commission will be able to see what we've come up with. And hopefully that'll be in the next work program, which will be good for us. So, and obviously I'm working with the Estero Bay Community Pool Foundation. And our MOU right now is with the district and the Estero Bay Community Pool Foundation. Our MOU is to build a pool at Moro Elementary. And a lot of people go, hey, what's going on with that now? And there'll have to be some rescinding, I think, of that MOU. Or we just leave it intact and maybe amend it. And because the use of the pool at the high school and the use of the tennis courts and any other amenity that they have at the high school is will be covered underneath our joint facility use agreement. And that's an easy way for us to say, hey, you got a pool? We'll make an amendment to our agreement, and the use will begin. Please.
And everything that I have seen as far as plans, ideas, thoughts are for a separate entrance to the pool, tennis courts, and other recreation facilities that will not disrupt school and certainly make it easier for recreation activities to go on campus daily, including school days.
I would concur. It is essential that we have that separation of school, students, and the public. And it will definitely help us facilitate our use in the community, getting into those amenities, pool and the tennis courts. I think they're going to have like 6 or 8 courts.
They have to have 6 courts to make it okay. CIF compliable. And those are going to be moved from the existing point over by the pool. All-weather track, possible turf field, just incredible plans.
And it's nice to be part of a community that says, hey, the district that says, hey, we're inviting the community. We needed you to build this, and we're inviting you to participate in the usage, and that's key. That concludes our parks section. I've got 2 more quick sections and then some capital projects, and then I'll turn it back to the chair. On our streets division, obviously we're working with the pavement management plan and the public services staff, and they have a list of streets that are out that have been out there. We have done crack sealing about 9,000 pounds of, this is a 3-year model, and I think that when you go around town, you'll start to see streets that are looking better than they have. And a lot more attention by city staff. And a lot of the pavement management plan is outsourced. So they'll be coming in relatively soon, hopefully beginning of the year, to do that work. We are working with public services again, and this is part of our maintenance and engineering team that we meet every month, the first Thursday of the month. And we compare notes and how we can support one another and who's doing what and when. And we'll be doing some pavement marking regarding our streets, which is crosswalks and our legends, our stop bars, and things like that. So that'll be coming through, as well as the curb painting. And I would be remiss to say a little later I'll say that about our capital project. Anything else as far as our streets, and you can see how they're funded. Generally, it's general fund funding, and then the big one is Measure Q. And Measure Q is something that has an oversight committee. That oversight committee is meeting on December the 4th, and I believe 9 o'clock in the morning in the Morro Bay Community Center studio room. So if you want to be part of that, show up at that meeting, or you can watch it on Channel 20. But know that the Oversight Committee has an annual meeting with staff to discuss all the expenditures to date. And sometimes they say, hey, why are you spending this money? And other times they say, you're not spending enough and spend it faster. So we'd like the latter. We'd like to get things taken care of that are promised to the community. That's important to us. That concludes our streets. I'll go into trees. Like I said, we planted 10 trees, street trees, last Saturday. They're part of the Urban Forest Management Plan. That Urban Forest Management Plan has detailed all the street wells, street tree wells that are out there, the ones that are empty, the ones that are full, and has a recommendation, depending on what zone you're in the city, on what tree we're going to have. So that's a recommendation of trees. The other one comes from the city tree committee, who have outlined, hey, these are our street trees. And then there's the right tree in the right place from PG&E. A little less weight, but still should be addressed because you don't want a huge tree underneath high voltage lines. So when the three of them come together, we have a short list of trees for that particular tree well. And that short list is taken to our local nursery, and hopefully, you know, that person, that nursery has some of the trees that we are looking for, and they're in decent shape, and we can pick them up at a decent price, and we bring them in. And we plant them, we have guidelines on street trees. And so that's how we plant them, and there's root barriers, and there's things that are done right, so it's, the tree doesn't mess up the sidewalk or the curb like the ones, some of the ones that are out there now. So the new ones we're putting in, they have root barriers, they've got a water tube, they've got stake supports, and they've got some ties to support the tree. The last section I would want to talk about are the capital projects. These are general, the first one is general fund, which is the park and recreation, park and access element of the general plan and local coastal plan. Know that it is part of a larger plan, and it's not a standalone, and the city has funded this particular update of the general plan and local coastal plan, and we'll be meeting soon. I think it's in like next week. I think it's the 2nd of December that we'll be meeting, and hopefully, you know, I'll be sitting at the table and being a strong advocate for our park and access or recreation and access element within the general plan. I think it's really important. It's something that we've needed. The city's needed a general plan and local coastal plan for a long time, and those updates just haven't happened, and particularly the recreational element of that particular plan is very important to us. Staff is working on our SOPs, which are our standard operating procedures. I've gotten through Chapter 3, which is the 300 series, and we have, I think, three or four more to go, and we go into the 400 and 700 series. So we're drafting those through, and we're doing all that work in-house. So it's important for us to have the SOPs up to date and standard, as well as the facility master plan, which is key. These are all, right now they're general fund, but if other funds become available, we will apply them whenever applicable. Our sports and fitness, we did some work at Del Mar. Commissioner Coxwell had mentioned that the roller hockey rink, there's been repainting, and right now we do there's roller derby out there, as well as pickleball. And pickleball is off the hook. We're getting ready to build, paint some new lines on the basketball court and have the pickleball spill over there. Pickleball play day is Tuesdays and Thursdays from noon till 2. And we have some interest from Cayucas, and we got pickleballers from Cayucas coming down. So pickleball is taking off. And the rest of the items on this list we haven't addressed because we don't have that large money to replace restrooms. We are doing some replacement of the HVAC units. You'll know that the staff got, well, we should hear in about a week the official word on our little over half a million loan. It's a 1% loan. And when that money comes through, we'll be able to pick up new HVAC units, which are heating, vending, and air conditioning units for public facilities, as well as three buildings. This one, the community center, I think the city hall will have solar arrays on them as well. So even though we have 11.2 kilowatt solar array over on the community center, we'll be increasing that. So when we increase solar or put in new solar at a particular facility, we address the roof in its condition and re-roof at that time if applicable. Most of the times it is. And we talked about the play structure at Tylands Park and some of the other renovations you see on here for Del Mar. Eliminating turf is still part of our task list to do. We are wanting to eliminate the turf, particularly right out in front of this building. There's been some talk about bringing in the Grizzlies. The Grizzly Academy is working with the Morro Bay and Bloom group, and this is one of the areas that they've showed some interest in. They've also shown interest in removing and replacing the planter. It's in front of Bayshore Bluffs. So if you can imagine going into Bayshore Bluffs, and there's a planter that's just adjacent to the street. It's like got evergreen and some day lilies that are there, and it's really overgrown, hard to see. Be a good spot for us to rip all that out and put in some new stuff. So we're looking to do that as well with the Grizzlies as well as the turf elimination. And one of the last things I'll look to discuss will be our skid steer. And we're looking to not purchase, but I think it's like lease to own. Yeah. I want to say rent to own, but I think it's lease to own. Lease sounds to better. And that's going to be really soon, and that's exciting. That's a little bobcat kind of a deal, but it has, instead of wheels, it has tracks. So we'll be able to go, we rented this last year for about a month. We were able to go from the yard and right over to the harbor walk and sweep the harbor walk, scoop the sand off of that, keep it swept, keep it clean. We changed the front, we put an auger on it. We can do street trees. The 24-inch auger in a heartbeat. We can put a grinder on it and do some small pavement grinding and some patchwork in your streets. So we're looking to give staff the tools they need to provide the service that the community is asking for. And I think that's essential. That concludes. I'm sorry I'm so long-winded, Chair.
It's okay.
The work program is very essential to us. It covers all of our programs and services. And if it doesn't do that, then we're looking to add to it so it does. It's a strong tool for us to go into the fiscal year, and we look for your input in the next cycle. Even though this is an update for 14-15, we're 2 months away from going into the planning for 15-16.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you and your staff for the very detailed work you've done on this. So from here, where we go? New business? Is
there any? If you want to accept update profile, it would be a clean way to wrap this up and then go into, we've already done D1, so you can go into your E section. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. May I get a motion to accept all this for a file? I'll make that motion that we accept
C1.
Well,
C1. Work program.
Second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. Thank you.
Two more items.
Okay.
E, this is future agenda, and then someone's favorite, F.
So what do we got in the way of future agenda items? Is that for us? None that I can see. Then I guess I'll have to adjourn this meeting. This meeting's adjourned. Thank you. And remember, all this information, all these reports are available from Recs and Parks. You can see them online. And remember to like us on Facebook. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. And have a happy Thanksgiving,
everyone. Yeah, happy holidays to everyone.